behavioral financial experts will tell you that the 15-year note is much better for most people because it's a definite outcome. You don't, because the more things you have to do to get a positive outcome, the less likely it is to occur.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, 2020 has been a very challenging year for a lot of people in a lot of ways financially, but one of the positives this year has been the low interest rates as it relates to buying a new home or refinancing. You know, maybe interest rates being low is not good in a lot of other aspects of finance, but as it comes to mortgages and buying a house and that sort of thing, it has been a big deal because rates have gotten so low. And we want to talk about that today on the Retirement Cafe. We want to really dive into what it means, really how you should approach it. Should you really be looking at it, kind of how it fits in with the plan? A lot of different aspects of this we'll talk about and really dive into. So if you've been thinking about it, been wondering about it, or if it's been on your radar at all, this is going to be a great episode for you today. So let me welcome in Dan Reese and Brent Oliver, both certified financial planners at Avery Wealth, serving mid-Michigan. Guys, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, great, Ben.
I'm doing well. I'm glad we're doing this topic. I've actually refinanced already this year, and I know a lot of people have been asking about it. Me personally, I've been talking to my friends and whatnot and family about it. So I think it's a topic that's really probably on a lot of people's minds right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of people, I think, have looked into refinancing, and it's really like free money, in all honesty, when you can lock in these long-term rates. Because, you know, one of the things we look at, and Brent and I talk about all the time, like what's normal. And so we did a little research, and just to put it in perspective of how good rates are today, the long-term rate on a 30-year mortgage is just shy of 8%. Think about that. So
yeah, that's crazy. I mean, considering where they are right now, that is amazing to think of, right? We're currently at what, 3.25%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it fluctuates from day to day, but that's what, you know, for a 30-year, right? That's where we're sitting right now.
Yeah. And I crunched some numbers just to kind of put it into dollar perspectives, and it's kind of amazing. So I just said, hey, what if you had a $250,000 mortgage? And so today, if you got a rate of 3.25%, which I think that's probably available right in that range, your payment would be about $1,088 a month. And so over that 30 years, you'd pay out a total of about just over $391,000, right?
Okay.
Which is kind of amazing because actually that's less than twice what you took out, which historically, just to compare it, if you had that historical 7.94% rate, instead of a payment of $1,088, you'd actually have a payment of $1,824.
Whoa.
And the actual total cost jumped from $391,000 to like $656,000 if you made your normal payments over those 30 years.
Wow.
So that's like 67% more cost.
That is just staggering when you think about it. Because, I mean, think about what you could actually afford. You know, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about what you can really afford later on in this, but that gets to what you can afford, right? I mean, the difference on a monthly basis, $800 almost, $750 difference between just the interest rate alone.
Right. And what's crazy is you think about a $250,000 mortgage and it being $1,088. We've had some clients talk about like what rental rates are right now, and you'd be hard pressed to find what a two-bedroom apartment, a decent one, for $1,000
a month. Yeah, for sure. And that, you know, we're in one of the probably lower cost places to live compared to some of these other, you know, cities and states.
Yeah.
So you start looking at that, what a great opportunity to buy a home.
Absolutely.
Or to refinance, you know, if that's what you're looking to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that quite a bit today on this episode. I'm still trying to wrap my head around those numbers. I mean, it doesn't seem like a big difference between 3.25% and, you know, just under 8%, but I mean, you're talking about buying that home basically another time. That's the difference. Almost over $250,000 more in interest over that time. I mean, that's a huge difference.
Oh, it's crazy. And that's why we always talk to clients about being really careful about your mortgage and understanding it. Because I think, like Brent, sometimes we'll see people and they'll be paying maybe 5% on a mortgage,
right?
Just because for whatever, you know, they're busy and they haven't even thought about going in and refinancing it.
Yeah, right? I mean, we see that all the time, or even higher sometimes, yep. right? Depending on the circumstance. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity to start and look at where you're at and whether or not it makes sense to do this.
Yep.
Well, you know, rates, with rates being where they are, you know, historically low, and it's been very competitive out there for people looking for one, which is great. And I know a lot of people are thinking now too, all right, the 30 is really low, but what about maybe trying to go 15 years? Because, you know, while, you know, you might have to pay a little bit more a month, it might not even change your payment a lot, probably, depending on what you get that rate to. I mean, is 15 year make a lot of sense for people?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a great conversation to have. And so, one thing Dan and I talked about before this is, you know, I'm a big Dave Ramsey proponent. I'm a SmartVestor professional. And so some of you probably know that if you've listened to the show and heard some of the things we've talked about before. And so Dave is really strongly thinks that you should have a 15-year note, right? And I don't disagree with that. I think it's a great idea. There's a couple of reasons that it's important. And the biggest one is really it helps people buy a house that they can afford, right? Because what we do a lot of times, you know, we talk about this with cars or other things, people shop based on a payment, right? And not really looking at what kind of house they should really be in. And this helps you do that, right? Because your payment most likely is going to be, even though the rates are better, is going to be more on a 15 than a 30 year, even though there's a lower interest rate. And so it helps you do that. But the other part of this is that we have people that are all across the board on this. And so if we just say you only can get a 15-year note, I don't think we're really looking at everybody and helping give people the best advice, because some people don't live by the principles that Dave preaches. And so we want to talk about that part first. And now let's dive into some of these options.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, you know, the 15-year note, I think historically, that's what a lot of people would prefer, because, you know, when we were just talking about the historical rates on mortgages, right? And so most people kind of felt like, man, I want to get this paid off as soon as I can, because I feel like I'm throwing away money, which you kind of are, right? When you're paying that much interest. And so, but to be honest, because rates have been higher, most people just haven't even thought about it. Now, as they keep going down and down and down, that's why this conversation should be had, right?
Yeah, because on the scenario before, and we don't have the numbers here on what it is, but if you're going up to that $1,800 payment, like Dan used in the illustration, and now it's $3,000, you know, that might price you completely out of every option that you would have.
Right, right. And, you know, we looked at, Ben, just for some comparison's sake, 15-year versus 30, and we just used some hypothetical rates for the 15 compared to the 30. I think we used 275 or 3. Now I lost my note on that. But regardless, here's the difference. Like for the 15 year on the $250,000 mortgage, you would be at $1,697 a month versus $1,088. So it's about $600
more. Got there. Yeah.
So, I mean, basically it's more money, right?
Yeah. And that's a lot more.
But when you look at it historically, that number is lower than the 30 year would have been at historical rates.
Yeah. And so again, that kind of gets to, hey, let's shop in the range of a house that we can really afford, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great thing. And I know we hear a lot of talk about, well, what if I did, this used to be really popular. I haven't heard it as much lately, but the buy and invest the difference, right? Brent, what's that mean? Like, what if
like in this example that Dan had given, if there was a $609 difference between the 30 year and the 15 year per month, it's saying, all right, I'm going to invest that $609 that I would have otherwise paid towards my mortgage.
Yeah, so the idea, right, that if you can get a decent return on your money, you could be further ahead after 15 years. So in essence, what's further ahead? I've got more than enough money to pay off my mortgage after 15 years, and hopefully, quite a bit more.
Yeah, that would be that's the goal.
Yeah, right? So I ran a couple quick numbers on that. So what I did is I took $609 a month for 15 years, and I just used 5% growth because I didn't want to put some pie in the sky number out there. So what would happen is you would have about, in that example, $163,000 saved, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, for most listeners out there, if you're married, especially, that amount of money was within the Roth limit, so you could save that tax-free. So there wouldn't be any taxes if that's coming up as a question. But here's the deal. So after 15 years, the next question is, what would I owe on my house, right? So if I had that 30-year mortgage, I paid on it for 15 years, it started at $250,000, what do I have left? and it looks like I came up with it's going to be about just shy of $155,000. So if you did do that, you would have actually come out about $8,000 ahead if you average 5% growth. And we also, just for fun, we figured out what would you have had to have averaged in growth-wise to break even, and it's 4.4% growth over that 15-year okay. period. But what's the problem with that, Brent?
I think this really addresses all of it, is that are you disciplined enough to do that, right? Because even if you put it in there, now you've got this account, right, that's growing, and let's say you want a new shiny new kitchen or a bathroom or whatever may be the case, you know, you're going to probably use that money, right, as because it's sitting there. And so if you don't have the discipline to do this, it really doesn't pay. And the benefit there isn't huge,
right?
I mean, you're talking about $8,000, right, to go through all that, and you could have just had a 15-year note in the first place.
Right. It could be higher, could be lower. We don't know what returns are going to be. But I think what you said, in behavioral financial experts will tell you that the 15-year note is much better for most people because it's a definite outcome. Because the more things you have to do to get a positive outcome, the less likely it is to occur, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And just that temptation, again, of that money sitting there, we know what a lot of people would do, even with great intentions.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, even if you mess that up for just a couple of months and took that $600 and, you know, applied it to whatever else, it's going to throw off the entire plan. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think about that. I did it once. You know how that goes, Ben?
Yeah.
Well, I did it last month. It was all right.
Right. We're still okay. I got to do it again one more time. Yeah, I like the idea. I never really thought about that, you know, when I was buying my first home, you know, the 15 versus the 30. I mean, the approach I always heard, or at least just, you know, thought about was, hey, 30 years gives you the smallest payment, gives you the most flexibility, and you're good to go. But the idea of the 15 year is that you might not get as much house, right? But you're gonna be better in the long run paying that house off in 15 years. You might not get the $300,000 house you wanted. It might be closer to $200,000, but you'll be better off in the long run.
Yeah, and one thing to note too, we didn't mention, even if you have a 30-year note, you can make payments. You can accelerate payments on that. They'll take your money, right? So if you wanted to calculate and spend, in this case, that extra $609 a month, you wouldn't have quite as low of an interest rate, right? Because you're not locking in the 15, but you would definitely pay it off a lot quicker. So,
okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, it's a very interesting conversation between the 15 and 30. And I mean, obviously anybody wants to sit down and put a plan together for that. I mean, I guess you don't want to just make these changes or go one way or the other with not having a plan for how you're going to use that money that either you're saving or whatever it is. But, you know, the other aspect of this conversation with mortgages, and I guess something you guys come up with a lot, is, you know, having clients that are really getting close to retirement. They, you know, they're going to be in a little bit different position with their mortgage and how they approach that. But when you talk to somebody that's maybe getting close to retirement and has however many payments left, probably not a whole lot, but has some money still left there that they owe, is it a good idea ever to dip into your 401k to pay it off so that you're debt free when you retire there?
Yeah, the one thing I would say is we don't like absolutes. So the always or never is definitely doesn't come into play here.
Yeah, you're going to get the it depends, right? It depends on your scenario right here.
Yeah, and it really does, because you think about, there's so many factors that go into this. I wrote a couple things down that I think are things to consider. Number one, what's your tax situation?
Right.
So if you're going to pull money out of a pre-tax account like a 401k to pay off debt, what do we know? We have to take out more than what we need because of taxes, right?
And so especially someone who is just retiring, right? This is the year that they're retiring, and maybe their goal was to not have a house payment, right, when they retired. And so a common mistake would be, well, I'll just take the money out of my 401k, and it happens to be in the same year where you worked the majority of the year. Now you have all that income, right, that you've earned throughout the year, and then you're taking a taxable distribution out of your 401k or IRA. That's going to drive you possibly into an even higher tax rate, which is going to cost you more money to do that. So the taxes are a huge part of this.
Yes, and I think most people struggle fully understanding the benefits of doing it one year versus another, or maybe not doing it at all, depending on their overall situation. But one of the things we talk about all the time too, Ben, is like their overall plan. So like most people that are getting ready to retire have multiple goals that they want. It could be some travel, you know, could be some doing some things for grandkids. It could be a home improvement. There's all different issues that come in. And so one of the things that's really important is understanding how's it all fit together.
Right.
You know, if you're going to like, if you need $50,000 to pay off the rest of your mortgage and you put that on top of all these other things, we could run into some issues.
Yes.
Like too big of distributions, right?
Right. Right. Or is that going to prevent you from being successful in the long term? And so, you know, I mean, I know it feels good sometimes to pay off your house, but if that impacts your ability for your money to last your whole lifetime, that'd be a terrible decision.
Yep. And that's why, you know, Brent and I talk a lot about scenario planning and stress testing, and that's part of it. So if I do this today, what is the trade-off? Because we know every financial decision we make has a trade-off. So if we pay off that house today with money out of our retirement account, what effect does that have over the rest of my retirement?
Right.
And I think if people have the opportunity to see that effect before they make the decision, then they can go through and feel much better about whether
right.
they do that or not.
Right, because we get just so attached to this feeling, well, I have to have this paid off. Well, do you have to if it doesn't impact your plan, or by paying it off, does it significantly decrease your chances of being successful?
Yep, absolutely.
Right? Do you, I mean, how do the low rates factor into somebody that's maybe getting close to retirement? Is it worth having a conversation about refinancing to get the interest rate lower, knowing that maybe you can outpace that with your investments as you head into retirement? I mean, is that even a conversation?
I think this is a great question, first of all. And I don't think about it as outpacing your investments,
okay.
because then you kind of get a little bit into a conversation of that's leveraging in a lot of ways to me. And I don't think that that's a good idea, because if that was the case, why don't we all just go out, borrow against our house and invest it, right?
We
don't want to do that. That's not a good sound strategy. But let's say that you want to stay in your house and you know that you're in a position where you're never going to pay it off, right? But you've paid off a significant amount. There could be a case built for, hey, let's stretch this out. We know we're never going to pay it off, and let's reduce the amount that we have to, the outlay each month. So your mortgage payment is low as possible so that we can achieve the things that we want to, knowing that we're never going to pay it off anyways. Why not have a low payment?
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen people actually go down that road and it actually significantly improved their lives because they were so intent on paying it off. A lot of their cash flow, which was not able to be increased, right? They were
right.
maximizing their cash flow and they were spending so much towards that mortgage, they couldn't really
right.
even live. And by really stretching that out, and they knew they wanted to stay in their house, they knew they didn't have a way to pay it off per se, that significantly improved their situation so that they could have a much better retirement.
Well, that's why I ask you guys the questions. You got the insight and have the answers. But look, this is something obviously everybody's thinking about right now, and I would encourage you to sit down with somebody and figure out how it fits within your plan. But we covered quite a bit today, so let's try to recap it before we close out.
Yeah, I think just a couple of the main points is mortgage rates are at historical lows. There's no question about that. Good time to look at your mortgage and really just see what you've got and if you could improve that situation. Second point, Brent, you want to jump
in? Yeah, I mean, I think the 15-year mortgage is generally a good choice. It keeps you in line with what you can afford, as we've talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, if you still have a mortgage when you're coming up on retirement, don't do anything rash. You know, you really need to look at all the options before you decide to pull money out of an investment and pay that off, because you want to make sure that whatever choice you make is going to put you in a good long-term position. And really, to wrap that up, it really goes with all planning. We're talking about a very small part of your overall planning today, but it can have a significant impact on your life. And so you want to always make sure that when you make financial decisions, hopefully you've got an advocate that's working on your behalf with you, and that it always is putting you in a good long-term position. You know, never shortchanging yourself by making a quick judgment.
Absolutely. Well, good conversation. And I've really got a lot out of it too. I mean, I think mortgages are, it's one of the biggest assets people have is their home. And tackling it the right way can really benefit you in the long run. So let me point you to averywealth.com. That's the website for Dan and Brent. And you can get information there on how to contact them, but also some different resources as well. But if you want to call them directly, it's 517-783-1695. And they'll be happy to discuss your mortgage situation, whether or not you need to refinance, what's the best option, 15 years versus 30. But put a plan in place, right? Ultimately, you want to have a plan for whatever route you go.
Absolutely, Ben.
Well, thank you both for the time today. Enjoyed this conversation, and hopefully it helped out some people that are thinking about either buying or refinancing.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of great information. We hope it was helpful.
Well, thanks for listening to The Retirement Cafe. I'm Ben George. They are Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks on the next episode.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.